Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question his abilities? There's no place that I can go where he does.
They say that hindsight is 20/20, and if we look back across our life and times past, that we could see things perfectly, maybe how we could have done things a little different, some better choices we could have made, or maybe we made the very best choice or choices at the time. But when I say hindsight is 20/20 this morning, we look back and we focus on what the Lord has done, and that gives us perfect vision for days ahead. We look back and we see perfectly how He worked, how He moved, what He did, what He used. And, you know, today we may be going through a time of hardship, a time of struggle, but hindsight's 20/20 spiritually. And God is good this morning. And He works all things together for good. He works all things after the counsel of His own will, the Bible says. So God's in charge, and we're grateful and thankful for that. And I kind of have an inkling you feel the same way, or you wouldn't be here. So good to see everyone this morning. Good to have you. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church here in Powder Springs. Just want to call everyone's attention to our tree of remembrance, however you want to say it, tree of memory. And looks like we have some ornaments going up. And that tree, again, is there for you if you have some family in heaven this morning. Anyone that has went on to be with the Lord before you, then you can buy an ornament in their behalf as a token of them not being there, not here. And you can hang that on that tree, just a tree of remembrance. I think it would be a great touch for our December month here at the church. Please remember that, and thank you for those who have placed ornaments so far. I do want to say that on Christmas morning, as we have service, no Sunday school, just 11 a.m. service, that we will be having communion, Christmas communion. We'll have some Christmas music, and I believe that will be honoring to the Lord for Christmas. And you can take your ornaments home at that time. Concerning germs, we do things different with communion. We have disposable 2-in-1 communion cups. I don't know if you remember from last time we did it. It's the cup with the juice, and there's a tab you pull on the top of it. There's two tabs. The first tab has the little cracker, the bread. And then the second tab is the juice. You don't have to touch, don't have to out of the same plate, whatnot, as others. And so trying to make it stress-free for all those who are concerned. And, of course, the Christmas offering will be on Christmas Sunday as we celebrate the Lord. This year, we'll as we annually do, we have our Christmas offering, just a gift to give to the Lord for all that He's done. And so remember that. We'll be repeating these things as we go each and every week. Remember that this morning. Remember Miss Claudia in your prayers. She's struggling with her breathing. Remember the Bendies as well. They're going through some time with Shauna's health. But also Brother Michael is awaiting a response back from a job interview he went to. I wonder if we have any first-time visitors with us. If this is your first time, would you raise your hand and we could keep a record? Appreciate you being with us this morning, buddy. We'll give you a card to fill out if you don't mind, and you can just put that in the offering plate when it comes around to keep a record of your visit. And I know there's others visiting with us, and it's so good to have you here this morning. And as we always do, we thank those that are watching by way of Facebook. All right. Are you glad you're here this morning? Let me get a hearty amen. 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 All right. Ooh, made me feel good. Woke me up a little bit. All right. Well, let's pray, and we'll give it back to Brother Allen, and let's worship the Lord. Father, we love You. We thank You for all that You do, Lord, all that You've done. We are thankful, God, that we have spiritual 2020. We can look back in our life and see how You've worked, God. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, have new faith this morning. I pray that we would have renewed faith. We would have strengthened faith. And Lord, I just pray that You'll be with us during the singing time, the preaching time, that everything be said and done for Your honor and Your glory. We don't want to rush anything. We want to take it in stride. We want to give our best, and we want to hear from You. We love You. Thank You for those visiting with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Choir, if you'll stand. Church, if you'll stand with me, turn over to page number 393. Let's everyone stand and sing "When We All Get to Heaven." Jordan, his wife Regina, Bailey, and downstairs is Hudson, and I'm just glad to have them with me today. And I celebrated the old big birthday yesterday. Go ahead, Larry, tell them how many.
Six.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We get it. We get it. We get it. But, hey, it's just a number. Amen. I told Terry this morning, I said, you know, some mornings I get up and I feel like I'm just 40. She said, you're not. Well, thanks a lot here. They say you're only as old as you feel. Some days, Brother Harold, I feel like I'm 80, but that's okay. Thank you. It's just a little louder, sir. One more time. But anyway, enough of that. I am glad to have my family here with me this morning. I praise the Lord for it. And God is good. Amen?
Amen.
I am so thankful for what the Lord has done. And what a wonderful season that we have now to be able to share together. And Pastor is going to bring some messages on that through the month. And I'm very thankful for that. The choir is going to start working on some songs for our Christmas morning. Now, we'll do our celebration as far as a choir on the 18th. Is that the date? I believe it's the 18th. And so please come, invite some folks to be with you, and then we will have a great celebration as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But it is great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We do have a lot of prayer requests that we want to remember. Some folks going through some very difficult times. We want to ask the Lord to be with those. Choir, if you'll be here with me this afternoon at 4 o'clock for choir practice, and we'll start working on some things toward Christmas. And so you pray for us that we'll make some songs ready as we celebrate his birth. Well, let's go to him in a word of prayer. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I made a sign-up sheet for the seniors 50 years old and over for go to Sack Burgers to eat dinner and then go to the Portwood Family Christmas Lights, and that's Monday, December 12th. And we meet here at the church at 4:50 p.m. Thank you. And we'll have the children's home bus. Yay.
Yay. Have a lot of things going on, and it's exciting. It's a great time. So please be here and be involved in those things if you can. And we just, again, we're thankful for what the Lord has done and what he continues to do. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. But CJ, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
Lord God, we
understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's
Someone says, what is a storm? And physically, I could say that a storm is when everything is moving around you and you're not sure if you're going to make it. I can remember living down in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And there's an old song about the Mississippi squirrel got loose in the Baptist church. And they had revival. I don't know if some of you remember that song or not. But that's one way to have revival, isn't it? But I can remember several times preparing for hurricanes down there, Pascagoula. We've lived in Biloxi, just outside Biloxi in Ocean Springs. And I moved to Georgia right before Katrina hit. I lived with my grandparents and my parents still lived in right outside of Biloxi and Ocean Springs, and Katrina hit. Many of you know different hurricanes and what they did. Katrina totally demolished Biloxi and surrounding places down there on the Gulf Coast. And but I can remember growing up, and I can remember preparing for some of those hurricanes, and people would be boarding up their windows. And I can remember one occasion, we lived in some apartments, and I looked outside one evening as a hurricane was blowing through. Everything was moving around us. Everything was being tossed. Everything was being thrown, it seemed like. And I wasn't sure if it was going to make it. A physical storm would be like that, but also I would say that the unseen storms of life. We talk about storms, we mention storms, and storms are those times in life where everything is moving around you and you're not sure if you're going to make it. But also when it comes to hurricanes, there's the eye of the storm, and there's a great calm in that eye of the storm. And I'm so thankful for the song we just sung, because Jesus is truly our calm. Whatever you may be going through, adversity, a storm, some new time in your life that's foreign to you, Jesus will enable you to get you through if you let him. Amen. Thank you, Brother Allen, for that lineup, song lineup this morning. Go ahead and make your way to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. Make your way there. It'll be a few moments before we actually do any reading from there. Last Sunday night, we actually, while being in November, we turned our attention toward Jesus. And we mentioned some things out of Isaiah 9:6. And his name shall be called. We mentioned five names that the Son of God was called. And we started mentioning Jesus on last Sunday night because we're in the Christmas season. And we had a couple services as a running start, because this past Wednesday we mentioned some things about Jesus again. We talked about a look at God's gift out of John 3:16. And we looked at that he's a one of one, Jesus is. When it comes to sports cards, memorabilia, if you were to find a card with a 1/1 on it, it's the only one of its kind. There is no more in this entire world made. And so the value goes up. Jesus is the only begotten Son, the one straight from, the only one of his kind. He's a one of one. And so we're trying to just get our minds focused on Jesus, on the Christmas season, and he being the reason for the season. And so we want to continue that this morning. And while we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, in just a moment, I do want to, by way of introduction, mention a couple things. There are many, many details that surround the delivery of the Son, Jesus. Many details. And there are many important details that surround the delivery of Christ. And this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to mention three that stand out to me, that surround, three details that surround the birth of Christ. And not just historically, I want to mention these details just for our knowledge, but I want to mention them with intent, meaning that there are some things wrapped up in these details that apply to our life now, 2022, all the way back from Bible days. Not just the history I want to mention, but there's actually a motive of why I'm mentioning it. And so I pray that it'll be a help to you, it'll be knowledgeable to you, and that we would honor the Lord in the month of December all at the same time. And so the title of the message is Details That Surround the Delivery. Details That Surround the Delivery. Three details that stand out to me about Christ's delivery, His birth. Number one, I want to mention this point, and that is before the delivery. Before the delivery. What we have before the delivery of Christ, before that blessed day that He was born, we have silence. Silence. We have silence from the Old Testament book of Malachi to Matthew. There's nothing but silence. And these are known as the silent years. The silent years. In Malachi chapter number 3 and verse 1, you don't have to turn there, but the scripture does talk about how that John the Baptist will be born to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus. Of course, there's scripture in Micah 5:2 that talks about Bethlehem being the birthplace of Christ. And so from Genesis to Malachi, prophecy flowed concerning the coming of the Messiah. There are messianic psalms in the book of Psalms that talk about His coming. There's messianic verses out of the book of Isaiah that talk about our suffering Lord and what He will go through in His life and His birth. And so from Genesis to Malachi, prophecy flowed and talked about how that there will be a time when this Messiah would be born. But we have from Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, from Malachi to Matthew, Matthew being the first book in the New Testament, there's a space of 500 years where there's nothing. It's silence. It's known as the silent years. But before the birth of the babe, of course, there was silence. There were, before the birth of the babe, baby Jesus, there were no more prophecies. There was no more preaching about it. It was just waiting. It was waiting. 500 years of waiting, 500 years of darkness, 500 years of nothing happening. But then there was the faithful day, the babe came and sounded the night with His cry. Ah! Think about it. I couldn't help myself but to do that. In my study, I'm thinking, this would be a great time to cry like a baby. 500 years of nothing, of darkness. I mean, the scriptures had said from Genesis to Malachi that Jesus was coming, this Messiah was coming, and how that He would redeem His people, and how that He would go to the cross and die and be buried and be raised again from the grave. And then all of a sudden, nothing. From Malachi to Matthew, just dead silence. Let me ask a question to you this morning. Has there ever been a time in your life where nothing was happening? Has there ever been a time in your life where it seemed like things are just dark and dreary? Nothing good could come out of my current situation. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like God just got silent on you? Like, Lord, I know you're supposed to be my helper, and God, you're supposed to guide your people, and Lord, you're supposed to speak, and Lord, you say in your word that you'll do all these things, and by the way, it sounds in your word that the Christian life is an action-packed life. Well, the Christian life is an action-packed life, and sometimes the action is silence. There is such a thing in the Bible as the silence of Scripture. When nothing's happening, nothing's moving, you're not getting anywhere, you feel like you're in a ditch, you feel like that life is just kind of just spiraling out of control, you need this Savior to come along your side, you need His help, His assistance, but seemingly He's silent. He's silent. Have you ever felt like God has been silent on you in your life? Have you ever been to the place where you feel like you need God's help? And listen, it doesn't necessarily have to be all bad things where you need God's help and need God to intervene. You can need God's help at school just to get through your grades, whatever grade you're in, and get to the next. And you just need God's assistance to get through school. You need God's assistance to get through a meeting on Monday morning. It doesn't have to be terrible, terrible times of adversity all the time when we need God's help. It can just be us in need of God to empower us so that we can rise one more time at the beginning of a new day and put one foot in front of the other. But there are times in life where we need God's assistance because things are terrible. And I feel like we talk about those times a lot from the pulpit, but that's where man is. We need God's help every day, whether it's something small or something tall. We need the assistance of the Lord each and every day. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes it seems like He's silent. Well, from Malachi to Matthew, He was silent. 500 years of darkness, 500 years where the people of faith had to walk by faith. All they had to reflect on was the prophecies from the past. And I'm sure some of them patriarchs and men and women of faith in between Malachi and Matthew, that time frame, I'm pretty sure that some of them struggled with their faith. Well, Lord, the Holy Scriptures say that you're going to be born and you're going to redeem your people. Where are you at? We need redemption. Lord, you say that you will come and you will be here for us and lead us and guide us and that you're our shepherd. Where are you at? Some of you this morning asking the Lord where He's at. And I will tell you that the silence in our Christian life is a time of action because the Lord is exactly where He said He would be, is where the Lord's at this morning. If you know Him as your personal Savior, there's been a time and place where you have repented of your sin and called upon Jesus through faith faith in His redemptive plan, take you to heaven when you die. He is with you. Every step of the way, He's with you. He is exactly where He said He would be at. Though life is dark for you, though things seem drear, He's here with you right now. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not saved. If I were to ask you if you died today, would heaven be your home? You would say, I hope so, or I'm not sure. Well, you can know so today that heaven will be your home ask the Lord Jesus to come in your heart and to save you, acknowledge you're a sinner, like we all are here, and repent of that. Repent of being a sinner. Ask Jesus to save you. You believe in His redemptive plan, take you to home, take you to heaven, take you home to heaven when you die one day, and to reveal His purpose for you while you're here now. If you do not know Him, you need to know Him. You need to accept Him as your Savior. And the reason for your darkness could be something totally different. I remember back before I got saved, man, life was dark. My life before salvation consisted of parties and drinking, finding out where these late night parties were. I dropped out of high school. You've heard it a million and one times, but here's a million and two. Dropped out of high school, went to Osborne High School, dropped out. Later on, after the Lord saved me, I went back and finished my education in the secular system and in seminary. But I was a high school dropout, and I hung out with those who dropped out. And all we would do, we would live for nighttime. Boy, we were living for nighttime. We would sleep all day. I'd get up, I'd call my buddies, and then we would all just meet together. Somebody had a car. One of our friends had to have a car. And so we would get together. We would go to these parties, and we would fight, and we would dominate these parties. We were a fighting bunch of boys, what we were. We'd get drunk and we'd start fighting everybody. We'd hang out at the pool hall, Whitlock Avenue. It's not there anymore, but it used to be called World Class Billiards. We'd run that place. There used to be a car show in the Kmart parking lot on Highway 41. And every Thursday, hundreds of teenagers would go there with their cars, showing off their rides. But there was this party going on. Drinking and drugging and fighting. One night my brother actually almost lost his life. We got in a fight with some gang members, me and my brother and a couple other guys. And it was, I don't remember what gang it was. We got in a fight with them, and my brother got cut from the back of his shoulder all across his chest and on his head. He was just in a pool of blood. Took him to the hospital. He had over 100 something staples. Of course, after it was all said and done, later that night, we were hopping around and shouting and rejoicing at what we did. And he was pumping his chest. Crazy. My life before Jesus was dark. And I know that everybody doesn't have the same story, but in like manner, for a person who does not know Jesus personally, and you go through dark times, it can be terrifying. Because you don't have no assurance or no hope that Jesus is with you. Because you don't belong to Him. If I would have died back then in all of my hoopla lifestyle living, I would have died and went to hell. That's Bible. That's not trying to influence people to get saved. That's just preaching the truth. And I hope it does get some saved. I have friends who died, who did not express that they knew Christ. I didn't. They didn't. And I had some friends that died without Jesus. It's a scary, scary, sobering thought of dying without Jesus and waking up in eternal torment forever. And so you can be here this morning. There can be some people watching on Facebook who are going through dark times in your life and you don't know the Lord. I implore you this morning. I beseech you this morning. I beg you, call on Jesus for salvation. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin and take you home to heaven when you die, to be your Lord and your Master. Listen, He will walk with you. He will talk with you. In life as a believer, sometimes it gets dark and sometimes it gets drear, but we have someone with us to share our heavy load. God forbid, God forbid living a life of darkness without God, without His help, without His assurances, without His promises, without His blessings, without Him assuring us He will guide us and give us a purpose for our darkness. Make sure you know Him as Lord this morning. And so we see that before the delivery, point number one, there was silence. But then after 500 years, Christy says, yeah, that's Justin, my big baby. Wah! The sound of the cry of that baby pierced the night sky. The shepherds heard that sound. The angels spoke to the shepherds. Of course, Joseph and Mary, during that time around the manger scene, and all the things that the Lord told Mary about how she would bear the Son of God, and how that Joseph was chosen to be her, her husband. Everything was coming together. Everything was starting to click. And there are times in life where things are dark, yet God is still working. But then there's times in life when things start to click. And can you imagine how they all felt when Jesus was born and that cry sounded through the night? It had to be some excitement. In fact, there was excitement. The shepherds went back to Bethlehem and told everything that they've seen and heard. But this morning we have point number one: before the delivery, we have the silent years. The silent years. And I want to say before I move on to my second point that these silent years, these dark years, we're experiencing now. We're living in a time of darkness spiritually. We're living in a time where seemingly gospel preachers are silent. They're not preaching anymore. We as a people, as Christians, are not witnessing anymore. The silent years, the dark years. But guess what? One day, the Lord Jesus will break that silence with a midnight cry. The second cry will be loud, and only for those who are saved will hear this cry, and we will be caught up with the Lord to meet those who've gone on before us in the air, and there will be a glad reunion day. This is the next cry we're waiting for. It's dark. It's dreary. The gospel message seemingly is being silenced, but all these things must be before the second coming of the Lord. Point number one, when it comes to details that surround the delivery, we see beyond, or we see number one, before the delivery. Number two, we see the beginning of the delivery. The beginning of the delivery. We're getting ready to read in a second. I have long introductions sometimes that get me into my message. At the right time, at the right place, Jesus was born. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, don't turn there. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so there was a particular time frame, a particular time when Jesus would come. Now, we're in Luke chapter number 2. Let's read verse number 1. And I want you to see in verse number 1, in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled, God initiated some things. Look in chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That word taxed there is the same word for census. A numbering. It's a way of getting count of who lived in the area like they do now. They'll send you stuff in the mail, or where you use your social security card and your license is how they figure how many live in each county and state. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or enrolled or a census taken. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to stop there in verse number 7. I want you to notice that God used an event. He initiated an event to occur in order to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. It has been prophesied. One good place to look is, you can go back later and look in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, mentions Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And so what has been told and was yet to be fulfilled would be fulfilled, but it had to be initiated. Something had to happen in order to get them there. Something had to be initiated. Well, you could say, Brother Justin, Jesus, God, he could have spoke directly to Joseph and said, get to Bethlehem right now. He could have. But he uses so many different parts in life and allows everyone to have opportunity to be used, whether they realize it or not. Caesar Augustus was that agent by which God was using. It was upon his heart one day that all the world should be enrolled. And I'm sure as Caesar Augustus was standing or sitting in his royal courts, he got to thinking it'd be a good time to have an enrollment in the area just to see how many people we got. The thought occurred to him. And so he sent out the decree. And now Joseph, the reason why he's going back to Bethlehem, because he was native of Bethlehem. He himself was born there. Not only that, but if you go in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, you'll see the genealogy. A genealogy there, one of two. The other one is here in Luke chapter 3. And you'll find that Joseph is in that genealogy. The Gospel of Matthew, linking him with David. Linking him with David in the city of David. And so Joseph was this upright and just man. He was going back to where he came from to be held accountable. Something moved him away from home in the very beginning, got him and Mary out of there. He became a carpenter, but now he's going back. Something initiated him to go back, and it was this decree. You know, God uses all kinds of things in life, in our life, those that know him as Savior. God uses all kinds of agents, all kinds of events for his will to come about. That's why it's so important to be sensitive to the Lord each and every day. We're not perfect people, but we know where our strength lies. We know who our hope is. And because of that, we acknowledge him every day when we leave the house, what we do. We're not perfect. We don't read our Bible 24 hours a day or pray 24 hours a day, but we acknowledge him and we believe he's directing our steps. And God uses things in a 24-hour time frame. Y'all just stay with me. I see some nodding off. Y'all just stay with me this morning. God uses in a 24-hour time frame things that cause us to look to him. God uses agents. God uses, he initiates things when he wants something to happen, he initiates and uses things like he did here. And so Joseph and Mary went back to Bethlehem. This is the biggest event in Bible history. God has things for you and God has things for me. But we need to listen and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit each and every day that we live, what he wants us to do, because he's trying to get things to click in your life. There are dark times in the life of a Christian, and then there are exciting times in the life of a Christian, times that we favor more than the dark times. God is working all through those times. But this morning he uses things. He has a will and a purpose and a plan, and he wants you to catch what he's throwing. So Joseph and Mary went back to Bethlehem to be part of one of the biggest events in Bible history. God has you somewhere in the program. God has me somewhere in the program, how he wants to use me. God is in the details this morning. And so the Lord is always orchestrating events in our lives for our good and for his glory. Romans 8:28, I quote it so often. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. He's working all things together for good. He's orchestrating things. He's setting our feet up and putting them down where he wants them. What I'm just trying to say is this morning, when we look at the beginning of the delivery, we see that there was an initiation of a certain event. And God is initiating events. Number three this morning, we'll be through. Not only the beginning of the delivery, but we see beyond the delivery, beyond the birth of Christ. After the birth, there were some new realities for man. Look in verse number 10 and 11, if you would. We see that salvation has come. And the angel said unto them, the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, a Savior. Salvation has come. Beyond the delivery, after the birth, a new and living way was opened up. Verse number 14 tells us that peace has come beyond the delivery. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. I like the old saying, it's on many t-shirts. No Jesus, no peace. K-N-O-W, Jesus, no peace, K-N-O-W. But then it says, no Jesus, N-O peace. No Jesus, no peace, N-O peace. K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. N-O, Jesus, N-O peace. Question is this morning, do you K-N-O-W Jesus? Because if you know Jesus, you will know that he is our peace. But if you don't know Jesus, know Jesus, you don't know real peace. That's why you're going to so many different lengths to fill the void in your heart. Beyond the delivery, salvation has come, peace has come, proclaiming has come. The angel had this message, and then, of course, the shepherds that were abiding in the field at night, keeping watch over their flock, faithful shepherds, they brought this message, verse 17, and shared it. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told of them concerning this child. What was told of them? Well, what was told of them was that there is a Savior born, and there's peace on earth. Or there's There's peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So they went and they proclaimed that. You know what our message is still, all these years later? A Savior has been born. On earth, peace and goodwill toward men. A Savior, the Savior, Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel is His name, has been born. He has come. He is our Savior. He can be your peace. And so we see that He came the first time to this world. He came as a lamb, the spotless lamb, the perfect lamb. But the second time He comes, He's coming as a lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. So don't get it twisted. We not only have a lamb here, the perfect spotless lamb, but we have a lion that's going to return one day. And so their message was to proclaim what they've seen and what they've heard. Do you know what your message is? My message this morning is to proclaim what we've seen and heard of Jesus. How God changed my life is my message. And what the Bible says. How God changed your life. How God worked in your life. That's your message. What you've seen, what you've heard. And so we see that there. Let me say this in conclusion. Beyond the delivery, we see that salvation has come, peace has come, proclaiming has come. But here, I just want to reiterate for a second what we preached Sunday night. Here's some other realities wrapped up in this special delivery that came. Isaiah 9:6 says, talking about this Son that was born unto us, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's wonderful this morning. He's hard to understand. He's extraordinary, the word wonderful. He is the ordinary God-man with a lot of extra. He is Counselor this morning. He's one who is well able to advise. He's the Mighty God. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save, and His ear not heavy that He cannot hear. He's the Everlasting Father. When father and mother forsake you, Jesus, God the Father, will uphold you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He is faithful to the finish. He's the fighter of our soul. He's our warrior. He's our Savior. He's the Everlasting Father. Then He's the Prince of Peace. Every king that has a son is a prince. God the Father is the King. The Son is the Prince. And He's the Prince of Peace. If you have a troubled soul, a troubled heart this morning, if you know Him or if you don't know Him, He's always the solution to come to Him. And He will give you the peace. He will fill you with what you need. And that is Himself, Jesus. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You, God. I know sometimes it's hard to follow along, Lord, in settings like this where the temperature is just right and we got things to do, Lord. I thank You for such a good church that listens well. Father, I pray that You give liberty during this time of invitation, and we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. This is our invitation time. If you